It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Baseball is back.
He doesn't want a super spreader out there in the middle of the field.
The season is different. On the field, in the socially distant clubhouse, in the empty stands.
You guys wanted to do it. You've been wanting to do it for months.
There's a lot to talk about.
Who are you kidding? Don't give me all that bull crap.
And this is the place to do it. This is the Baseball Reporters with Tony Mass.
Brought to you by Big Wa Safety Insurance, Rodenheiser Home Services, Woodbridge Wines, Gravely, and Jackson Lumber.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Fly ball deep left center, going back. Pilar still back on the track at the wall. See ya! A home run for Boyd. He clubbed that one and kept traveling. A two-run shot. It's 3-0 Yanks.
Now the 1-1. There goes the deep left. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. Oh, that Boyd is a droid. He rips one into the left field seats. Boyd. It's one to Detroit, and the Yankees take a 5-1 lead, the second home run of the game for Cool Hand Luke.
Two more home runs for Luke Voit. Two more home runs, four given up by the Red Sox. I said, I looked this up. I couldn't help myself. I'm sorry. I couldn't help myself. And I had to, because I had to just do the math. The Red Sox, 6-3 losers last night against the Yankees in New York. I got a bunch of things I want to get to today, including the absolute pathetic nature of the Red Sox pitching staff, just how bad it is. We'll put that into some context for you. Also, Ron Renicki and his performance, which, I think this is totally unfair to Renicki, this whole circumstance and situation, but I do have a question as it pertains to Renicki and the way the Red Sox are being managed. And also, if you did not see this last night, Fernando Tatis hit a grand slam in the ninth inning against the Texas Rangers in a blowout. I think it was 10-3 at the time. Tatis hit a grand slam on a 3-0 pitch that ignited a firestorm between the Padres and the Texas Rangers, and I would love people's thoughts on that. I know Murray has some very strong, specific thoughts on that, as do I. I know Billy Lanny, who is filling in for Jimmy Stewart today, is a big fan of the sport in general and baseball, so I'd be curious as to what Billy thinks on this, too, and I haven't discussed it with either of them, other than to just alert them that I wanted to hit on it here during the show. So, 617-779-0985 is your phone number here on the Baseball Reporters. We'll take your calls up until 7 o'clock, and I should remind you that if you are a baseball fan, tonight is the night you want to jump in, because there will be no program tomorrow, as the Bruins will be playing. And we'll be carrying the game right here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. So, no, if you want to talk baseball, tonight is your night to do it. Again, 617-779-0985. Those home runs the Red Sox allowed last night, four more home runs. Four more home runs. I mean, this is getting comical. So I had to look today, and it's one thing to get beat. It's another thing entirely to get beaten the way the Red Sox are getting beaten. In 23 games... the Red Sox have allowed 38 home runs. 38 home runs in 23 games. So I did the math on this today. And that is a pace to allow 268 home runs over the course of a 162-game schedule. 268 homers. That number is huge. The team that allowed the most home runs in baseball last year was the Colorado Rockies, who allowed 270. And I don't need to tell you that the Rockies might as well play their games on the moon which has 1/6 the gravitational pull of Earth. Because the ball in Colorado flies. The Red Sox are on pace to give up over 162-game schedule, 268 home runs. Now, after the game, I don't know if you guys heard this, Christian Vasquez, Billy, did we end up grabbing this? Yeah. Christian Vasquez was asked about the fact that the Red Sox have been repeatedly getting their asses kicked by the Yankees over the last 2 years. Murray, did you see this stat today? The Red Sox in the last two years at Yankee Stadium, do you know what their record is?
Do they have like 2 wins?
1-15.
Okay. Yeah.
1-15, 0-7 this year. They lost all 7 of the games they played in New York and were outscored by 27 runs. So think of that. 7 games, they were a minus 27. That means their average margin of defeat was 4 runs. So your average Red Sox game this year in New York was something like 7-3. I mean, not competitive. And after the game, Christian Vasquez was asked about the fact that the Red Sox have been absolutely killed in New York over the last 2 years. Now, remember, in 2018, the Red Sox went 108-54, won the World Series, so totally different experience. But the last 2 years, they can't win in New York. Now, Vasquez is from Puerto Rico. His English is not great. We'll play the cut for you. If you have any trouble understanding it, then I certainly will tell you what he said. But when he was asked about the Red Sox getting their ass kicked over and over by the Yankees in New York, here's what Vasquez said.
I think the only thing I can tell, they have no ring, so I have one. You know, we beat them in the playoff, and, you know, I like my ring.
Okay, so there you go. The only thing I can take from it is that I have my ring, we beat them in the playoffs, they have no ring. So that's what it has resorted to for the Red Sox. Holding on to 2018, 2 years later. 2 years later, holding on to 2018. And so when you really add it up and you look at it and you say that they in that span of time, and I did the math again this morning because they lost again, the Red Sox are on pace. Their current winning percentage translates into a record of 42-120. If they were playing 162 games this year, they'd be on pace to lose 120 of them, less than 2 years after going 108-54, basically as the best team in franchise history. In 2 years, they have gone from all-time best Red Sox team to maybe the all-time worst, certainly of my lifetime. I don't know about you. 120 loss pace. Which brings me to this. Bad pitching, a disappointing offense, bad defense, bad base running, bad attitude, I would say overall. They don't look like a team that wants to play ball. The owner of the team, Tom Werner, has admitted it's hard to watch. The owner of the team has basically called them an unwatchable product. And we looked at the TV ratings this morning because last night it was a full smorgasbord of activity for the Boston sports fan. So you had the Celtics at 6:30, the Bruins at 8, and the Red Sox playing the Yankees going up against it at the same time. The Red Sox game against New York was a rating of below 1. Mario, did you remember the exact number? Wasn't it 0.86 or something?
Yeah, let me pull. I think that sounds like I was right. It was, 0.8.
0.8 was the Red Sox television rating against the Yankees. People have stopped watching. People have stopped caring. And so, and with good reason. I mean, the product is unwatchable. And I'm not going to lie to you, I didn't watch a game last night. I had my focus on the Bruins and the Celtics in that order. In fact, I caught up on some of the Celtics this morning because I, couldn't catch the whole second half while the Bruins game was going on. So, and I completely dismissed and ignored the Red Sox. But with the complete breakdown of things for the Red Sox, here's my question for you. If you're a baseball fan, would the manager make a difference right now? And when I say that, I want to ask specifically, if Alex Cora were here and Ron Renicky were his bench coach, if Alex Cora were the manager of the Red Sox, and Billy, I'd love your thoughts on this too, okay, you and Murray, if Alex Cora was still the manager of the team, would they be this bad?
No, Not at all. I mean, you've seen complete capitulation with Ron Renicki. These guys don't, they clearly don't give a rat's ass anymore, and that was evident pretty early, but now they've completely given up.
Billy?
With Cora, he wouldn't allow it.
I'm sorry.
With Cora, he wouldn't allow it. And I think there was guys that had too much respect for him.
Billy? Okay, we're having trouble hearing Billy. He's not up. He's not coming through, so something's...
How about that?
Okay, there we go. We got you.
Sorry, I had the wrong mic on. I agree with Murray. I think if Cora's here, they got a different mentality. I think the players see that this is a shortened season, different manager. Why try?
So fans love to blame the manager, right? But I want to make this clear. This isn't about Alex Cora. I mean, this isn't about Ron Renicki. I'm just wondering what fans think.
And no, they would still suck. Don't get me wrong, but you would at least have effort. You know, I feel like these games are over before they even start, Maz.
Okay, so here's what I would tell you, okay? And I want to make this part clear, because I don't want to blame Renicki. I'm not throwing Renicki under the bus. Renicki's in an impossible spot. But if Alex Cora were here, oh, don't be ridiculous, Red Sox fans. Don't be ridiculous. Of course they'd be better than what they are now. There is no way in a million years that J.D. Martinez and Rafael Devers and take whoever else you want on the road. And I'm focusing on Hispanic players at the moment because these are guys that Cora was able to elevate. And now, and I think that in the case of, and he didn't elevate Martinez, that's not fair, but he did Devers. Devers turned into a better player under Alex Cora. And without Cora there to connect with Devers again, Devers has become a worse player. Vasquez has played well. Eduardo Rodriguez never made it onto the field. And more importantly, independent of whether Cora was able to make a connection with certain players, there is no way up and down the roster. Andrew Benintendi would be playing better if Alex Cora were here. Xander Bogaerts would be playing better if Alex Cora were here. Up and down the roster, they'd all be playing better because they wouldn't look at what effectively is an interim manager and dismiss him during a pandemic, which is what I think they are doing to Ron Renicki. They are absolutely dismissing Ron Renicki. And you know what? Shame on them for doing it. So we had people calling in last week wanting to get on Renicki for it. It's not Renicki's fault. It's the player's fault. You don't have the pride and the professionalism to play for your manager, no matter who he is. And again, in Renicki's case, what has he done wrong? What has Renicki done wrong? Zero. Zero. He's done zero wrong. So I think it's an indictment of the players to say that if Alex Cora were here, they wouldn't be this sloppy. They wouldn't be this bad. They wouldn't be this inept. Because honestly, they're a joke. The Red Sox are a laughingstock. It's one thing to lose. It's one thing to lose like a bunch of clowns, which is what they are at the moment. And Renicki knows it. Renicki understands how bad they are, how unprofessional and inept they are. Renicki knows it. But he's too good a guy to throw his players under the bus. But they are half-assing it, or at least some of them are. Tell you what, let's go to my buddy here, Alan, in Florida. Alan, what do you got?
Well, first of all, Maz, I just want to say, you just mentioned a word. I mean, if you go nationally, this team is a laughingstock of the baseball world. I mean, we don't realize, I do, but people don't realize it in Boston because the playoffs are going on. And you know what?
Alan, just quickly, before you go on, I will tell you that right now, they are an embarrassment to professional athletes everywhere, is what I think they are. But go ahead.
Absolutely. You know, we sometimes have some fun disagreeing. But now, and I don't see, you know, say Cora comes back, which probably he is next year. I mean, he isn't going to, you know, don't forget, they weren't like, how did they do the last year with Cora?
Okay, but Alan,
what is this team
going
to do for pitching, Maz? They have no, the minor league system is terrible. These pitchers are just, I mean, I turned on the Yankee station. They were laughing. They were hysterical. I mean, one after the other.
Alan, look.
There is no future here.
Yeah, so with regard to the pitching staff, they're porked. They're porked. They're in big trouble. Okay, they're in big trouble in the pitching staff. I touched on this last night. This is not a one-year rebuild. People got to get that through their thick heads. And the Red Sox, again, ownership knows it. Ownership knows it. You got to go all the way back now. I'm telling you, go all the way back. This is 2012 all over again. That's what this is. It's 2012 all over again, except you don't have a good farm system that's still a couple of years away, and you don't have a John Lester on your staff, because I don't think Chris Sale's coming through that door next year and going to be the same guy. So this is going to be a longer rebuild. The next year, maybe then, and I'm going beyond this one. Tough one for the Red Sox. If you're on the line, sit tight. I'm going to play a comment for you again that Ron Renicki made over the weekend that honestly, to me, it just explained that how lost for words he really is and how, frankly, embarrassed I think he is being associated with this team. So we'll play that for you. I also want to get to the Fernando Tatis story, big story between the Padres and Rangers last night. If you missed that, we'll do all that with your calls. I see you all lined up when we come back.
This is the Baseball Reporters with Tony Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ron Renicki from over the weekend. That was after the, I believe that was the Saturday night game in New York. I can't keep them all straight anymore. I'm sorry. It's one suck fest after the next. They do one stupid thing one night. They give up four homers. The next, they blow. They're terrible. It's an awful, awful baseball team. I can't emphasize that enough. And remember that the game is built in such a way that it's hard to win a lot and it's hard to lose a lot. You're playing 162 games, and I know it's a short season, but the nature of the sport is such that the good teams don't even win 60% of the time, and the bad teams don't really lose more than 40% of the time. Everybody's sort of in that, but you know, between 40 and 60%. The Red Sox winning percentage right now is in the low 20s or mid 20s or whatever the hell it is. And think of the talent they have on that roster. And listen to Renicki there. I want to play that for you again, piece by piece here in a minute. Listen to how at a loss for words he is to explain it. Listen when we play it. Max is in a truck. Ed, Max.
Hey, what's up, Tony? This team is absolutely awful. I used to watch the Red Sox all the time. I've not watched one game this year because they're just they're awful. And I think they should start, you know, trading some of their good players like J.D. Martinez and, you know, try to get some prospects back and go with a full rebuild.
Okay, so, Max, look, I think I don't know about a full rebuild because I think they have some guys on this team and on this roster that have some value going forward. I don't want to trade Xander Bogaerts. I don't want to trade Rafael Devers. I want to keep some of those guys. So, I'm okay with trading Benintendi, but I don't want to trade Verdugo. I don't want to trade both. Bradley's going to leave via free agency. I want to keep Vasquez, unless you can get something great for him. Vasquez, good value. He's making, what, $3 or $4 million a year, and he's producing overall? So, ideally, if he wants to stay, I want to keep J.D. Martinez, and I want to be competitive next year. Now, if someone will give you a good pitcher for Martinez, and I'm moving him next week. And the deadline's coming up at the end of this month. There'll be moves to be made, I hope. Unless teams just deem the prices to be ridiculous because it's a pandemic. In which case, you can't even do that. Chris is in Norwood. Go ahead, Chris.
Chris here. Yeah, Maz, what's worse on this team right now? Coaching, pitching, or hitting?
Pitching.
Pitching. All right, what's second? Coaching or hitting?
Hitting.
Okay, and why is coaching last? What did Alex bring that Ron Renicki didn't bring that no one's talking about that we all seem to have forgotten?
Okay, I would say respect and intensity. Oh, the cheating?
Yeah, how about stealing signs? I mean, we forgot that Alex was doing phenomenal because they were stealing signs of the best team in baseball. Well, they don't have the answers anymore, and now they actually have to play the game.
Okay,
they have horrible pitching, and no one knows what's coming.
Okay, but Chris, I would also tell you this. There's way too much talent on that team for them to win 20% of the time. Way too much talent. Again, Devers, Bogaerts, Martinez, Verdugo, Vasquez. Say what you want about Bradley, but he's a big league player. Benintendi, who's woefully underachieved. Mitch Moreland. There's enough guys there for them to win a little more than they have. I mean, really, it's the only way you lose this much in baseball, and this was my ultimate point about, again, everybody ends up generally between 40 and 60%. Generally speaking, everyone ends up between 40 and 60%. That's what your winning percentage is going to be, 400 to 600, somewhere in there. The only times you go above or below that is if you're really, really good, in which case everything goes right, everyone stays healthy, you don't have any injuries, and you have a lot of talent, or you're really, really bad and you stop caring, or you have no talent. And this team is not a no talent issue. You want to tell me Pittsburgh doesn't have the talent to win 30% of the time? Fine. The Red Sox? Come on. Tom's in Quincy. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, Tony, my main issue with, you know, the question about would they be better with Cora, obviously they would be. You know, minimally, they would be better than Baltimore, who they're 6.5 games behind right now, which in that on its own is enough to tell you what kind of horrendous hot pile of garbage this team is.
So, Tom, this is sort of my point, Tom. And I'm going to let you go just because we have other callers on tonight. I know you call every night and I appreciate that. But this is sort of my point. I don't care how many injuries they've had or how many guys have opted out or how many guys can't pitch because of COVID or whatever else. There is no excuse for them to be worse than the Baltimore Orioles. No excuse. They have more talent than the Orioles. The fact that they're worse than the Orioles tells me they don't care. And again, I think they would care if Cora were here, which to me is an indictment on the players. It's not an indictment on Ron Renicki. That's an indictment on the players. Chris is in North Andover. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, Tony. I agree with you 100%, man. And I also think it's more than just the manager. I think they don't care because management put them in a terrible hole. You keep on bringing up offensive players. You haven't brought up one pitcher. They know they don't have a pitcher. Like, they know going into it, they're going to be down 6, 7, 8 runs a game. That is so demoralizing going into every game.
So, Chris, Chris, I understand that. I also think some of these guys quit before that happened. Early on in the year, 5-2 game at New York, J.D. Martinez won't go up to pinch hit in the 8th inning, down 3 with 2 men on. He won't do it, which no one still has asked him about. Can someone please ask him the effing question? You had him on for 3 minutes the other day, and no one asked him the question. Why didn't you want to hit in New York earlier in the year? And then if he says, no, I was willing to hit, that's not what happened, then fine. Okay, at least we have it on the record. Could someone please ask him the freaking question? That's embarrassing on multiple levels. A, embarrassing that he didn't want to hit, and B, that we don't even care to ask it anymore. What the hell are we doing here?
That's like, kind of indicative of how the team is treating the season. It seems like the
don't let them off the hook. Don't let them quit and get away with it. The guy's making $23 million bucks a year. Ask him the effing question. Ask him the effing question. Jesus. Do I have to spell it out for you? Like, it's that obvious. The only person who has answered any question about J.D. Martinez not hitting in New York is Renicki. Shocker, the sacrificial lamb, the guy that they're just putting out there to get his brains beat in. So, Renicki's going to take all the hits and answer for it every night. And whether because of COVID or anything else, or because no one wants to ask it, J.D. Martinez gets to say to his manager, geez, I don't know if I want to hit that night. I don't feel like hitting. And Renicki has to answer for it. How did Renicki get stuffed in the middle of this? I don't know Ron Renicki from a hole in the wall, from a can of paint. I don't know Ron Renicki from a can of freaking Benjamin Moore. Here's what I know, though. I know his reputation. That he's a good veteran baseball guy who's honest and a decent man. That's what I know about Ron Renicki. And he's going to sit there night after night and answer for these jackasses who won't pinch hit and won't try. Some of them, not all of them. Some of them are trying well enough. The defense is a joke. They have one of the worst rated defenses in baseball. The base running is a joke. The pitching lacks talent. How about the other stuff? Do they not have the talent to hit? Do they not have the talent to play the field or to run the bases? They have the talent to do all those things. All those things. But you know what? The players would rather just hide behind COVID, and they'd rather hang Ron Renicki out to dry, even though he deserves way better than this. He really does. He deserves way better than this. I don't know. The deeper we get into this thing, and the last couple of games have been a little more competitive, so that's a good sign. Maybe they're actually taking into account that their manager's trying to do his job at least better than they are. So maybe that's a little bit of light that they're actually trying to put a respectable product on the field or semi-respectable product on the field instead of just cashing the checks and hanging the manager out to dry, the interim manager, the baseball lifer. Because that's what they're doing. They're treating that guy like dirt. And the players are who I'm talking about. That's a disgrace. God, it really makes you want to hate them more and more the deeper you go. I just remember again, you find out about them when they lose. That's when you find out. You find out about them when they lose. You don't find out anything about people when they win and everything's great and you go 108 and 54. That's a cakewalk. That's an absolute party. That's a great time. Everyone has a good time. That's it. No problems. Everyone's happy. No, you find out about them when things go wrong. And we're finding out a lot about these guys. J.D. Martinez, oh, that call over the weekend pissed me off. That Zoom call they did for the first time in 3 weeks, and nobody asked him why he wouldn't hit New York. Oh, it's a brutal, absolutely brutal. I told you, I'm not letting it go. Murray's got your headlines when we come back. I want to hit on the Fernando Tatis story in Texas last night. We'll continue with your phone calls. If you don't know what happened with Tatis on the for the San Diego Padres against the Texas Rangers, I'll tell you. That's next.
Now, more hot takes on a short season. It's the Baseball Reporters on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This is in the air to right field. Back it goes. Nendo has done it again. Fernando Tatis Jr., a grand slam. And the Padres go on top 14-3. Two home runs, seven RBIs for Fernando Tatis Jr. Unbelievable.
Tatis has just hit a grand slam, his second home run of the night, and the Padres have a 14-3 lead. We are watching is nothing short of amazing.
Baseball fans could use a good story, probably, right? This kid with the Padres, Fernando Tatis Jr., oh boy, is he a good story. You seen any highlights of this kid, Murray?
Hits missiles.
Holy crap, is this guy a player? Wow. Wow. And I saw the preseason hype with Fernando Tatis Jr. because, look, he came up last year, had a good half year, two-thirds of a year anyway, with the San Diego Padres. And I thought, you know how this goes. These guys all get overhyped. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., blah, 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 blah. I'm very difficult to impress when it comes to this sort of stuff, Murray. This kid... holy crap, what a player this kid is. Two home runs last night. That's not really the story. But if you haven't followed this, because again, let's face it, Red Sox fans are interested in the Red Sox. Tatis, the story in baseball this year. The story in baseball. This guy is an absolute freaking force. And currently ranks fifth in the major leagues in OPS. He's got 11 home runs. 28 RBI, 69 total bases. I think he leads in total bases. And boy, is he fun to watch. I mean, he just absolutely mashes the ball. So last night, the Padres are playing at Texas. Tatis hits a three-run home run. I think it was in the seventh inning.
It was in the seventh, yeah.
To put them ahead 7-3, 10-3. I don't know, what somewhere in that area. By the time he came up again in the ninth, they were up 10-3. The bases were loaded. He got ahead in the count 3-0. So now you're on the mound. You're going, well, what the hell do you do here? You got to groove one. Otherwise, the guy's going to hit a grand, you know, guy's going to walk and a run. So the pitcher grooves a fastball. Tatis unloads. It's a grand slam to the opposite field because Texas is a launching pad. Hits it into the right field seats. And the Rangers get all pissed off. So Chris Woodward, the manager of the Rangers, well, before I even get to Woodward, the Rangers went out, and the next Rangers pitcher on the mound threw at the Padres. Today, Woodward and his, I don't remember who the pitcher was.
It was some reliever. I can't remember the name, but he threw behind Manny Machado.
Okay, right. And so Machado's sitting there going, here I am again. I'm the human pinata. As was the case with the Red Sox after the Dustin Pedroia injury a couple of years ago. So the pitcher was suspended today for 3 games. Woodward was suspended for 1 game. Woodward was asked after the game about Tatis swinging at a 3-0 pitch in a game that his team was leading 10-3 in the ninth inning. Okay, here's what Woodward said.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of unwritten rules that are, you know, constantly being challenged, I think, in today's game. So, yeah, I didn't like it personally. You know, when you're up by seven in the eighth inning, it's typically not a good time to swing 3-0. That's kind of, you know, the way we were all kind of raised in the game. But, you know, like I said, the norms are being challenged on a daily basis. So just because I don't like it doesn't mean it's not right. But I don't think we liked it as a group.
So now the Padres even to some degree apologized for it. Tatis apologized for it and said, look, I'm young. I'm a kid. I think he's Dominican. And he said, I don't know the quote-unquote unwritten rules of the game, but he was put in a position where he had to apologize for it, which I think is a joke.
Yeah, the Padres manager, too, basically said the same thing that the Rangers manager just
said. So go ahead, Murray, go.
Well, this whole I hate this thing for a million different reasons, but the biggest one of all is it's just ultimately the epitome of everything that's wrong with this sport. The old guard in Major League Baseball, by and large, are too wrapped up in their feelings and how things were and how things are supposed to be in the game with their stupid unwritten rules, and you better show respect, and if you don't, you're going to be shamed into oblivion like Tatis and forced to apologize for something he shouldn't have to apologize for. You got to play the game the right way. Like, enough. Like, that. People wonder why this is becoming a niche sport and nobody cares about baseball in certain segments in this country anymore. It's because of things like this. This dumb unwritten rule that you're not supposed to hit home runs now. I've never even heard of that rule. Like, you're supposed to make outs with a big lead? That's dumb. Okay, if he tries to bunt to get on, that's cheesy. You want to be mad about that? Fine. You don't hit home runs now? Like, that's a thing? And I don't know if you saw this because the game is currently going on. I love this kid. They're up by six in the fourth inning because they're playing today, Padres and Rangers. Tatis just stole third with two outs on the reliever that threw behind Machado.
Beautiful. Beautiful. And so, look, here's what I would tell you. F off. F off. Baseball's got a tight-ass problem. It has for a long time. Tight-ass syndrome. And so, you know what? If it takes Fernando Tatis or Jose Bautista or Vladimir Guerrero or Bryce Harper or anyone else you want to pick who's got a little flash to their game. Because Mike Trout doesn't do this sort of stuff. And again, you know, everybody loves Mike Trout, so apparently he sets the standard. But take your pick. Take your pick of the player. Alex Verdugo. He's got a little flash in his game. You don't like it? Too bad. Too bad. The game needs some energy. The game needs some excitement. The game needs more people like Fernando Tatis Jr. And let me tell you something about this grand slam that he hit last night. The one before it, the home run before it, the three-run homer, that should be the one that opens your eyes if you're a baseball fan. Google it on the web. Find it. Watch it. This thing was an absolute freaking blow dart over the left field wall. This guy's a middle infielder. He plays shortstop. Now, he's a big kid. He's 6'1", I think. He might even be bigger than that. He might be 6'2 or 6'3". And he's 195 pounds. So he's, you know, I dare I say like an Alex Rodriguez kind of body, a young A-Rod, not an old A-Rod who beefed up, a young A-Rod. And I don't even mean beefed up on the steroids. I mean, just as A-Rod got older, he got thicker. When A-Rod was young, he was lean. This kid's lean. Watch the home run he hit in the seventh inning. Off the bat, it looks like it's going to be a line drive over the shortstop's head into the gap, maybe for a double because it was smoked. It just kept going and going and going. And it cleared the wall in left center, not down the line. And the grand slam was to right. But again, I would tell you the ball jumps out of that place. But even so, watch the three-run homer that he hit. It was, I don't think it got more than 15 feet off the ground. It was an absolute freaking one iron over the wall in left center field. This kid's power, his ability is real. And he's got to worry about what? The Texas freaking Rangers, who suck always, who have always sucked, save for a couple of years here and there. The Texas Rangers are going to get bent out of shape because why? Because they're getting their asses kicked and they have the bases loaded and they get behind 3-0 and they had to pipe one and the guy hits it out of the ballpark. That's his fault. Oh, stuff it. Would you please stuff it? I want to see more of Tatis. I want to see more guys like Tatis.
Yeah, guys that want to rewrite baseball's rules and make it fun. You know, like a guy like that will get me back into it. And not to be, no, he shouldn't be shamed for something like that. And this was pointed out to me, too. So, you know, the Padres just last year, they were losing by 7 runs in the eighth inning
11-4. They kept playing this particular game. It was against the Rockies, and they ended up winning 16-12. You keep scoring. You don't give up. You're supposed to strike out just because of unwritten rules. F off.
So what? When the Red Sox get behind these teams now, you want the opposition to lay off and go easy on them? Is that what you want? If they can't, yeah.
3-0, bases loaded. Is there ever a situation where you have a bigger green light as a hitter?
Okay, so the score was 10-3. Right, and a lot of people don't even understand the green light rule, Billy, so I'm glad you brought this up. Let me just take one call, because I want to get to that green light rule. A lot of people don't understand it. Matt's in Rhode Island. Matt, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Just a few things. Tatis Jr., his dad played in the majors for 15 years, so this kid's been around the game. Okay, so he missed the sign to take a strike at 3-0. So, I mean, the manager should take that up with Tatis. So you got to pay attention. In the locker room afterwards. Instead, the manager goes over because the San Diego Padres manager goes over because he's from Texas and apologizing and all this stuff. This is, like, crazy. Like, you know, they should be celebrating this kid, and they're making him, like, basically apologize.
Yeah.
You know, so, this is and other thing, one more thing.
Matt, I'm going to stop you there, okay? I'm going to take one point. I'm not going to turn it into a 3-minute phone call. So the story was that the manager said that Tatis Jr. missed the sign. I think he's lying. I think they're lying. I don't think they gave him the tick. I don't. I think they let him hit. That's what I think. And the whole green light thing, just so people understand it, you know, typically 3-0 you tick, right? That's what we were all taught as kids. The big leagues are different. Okay, the big leagues are different. And there were certain guys in certain situations that you would quote-unquote green up on 3-0. And the typical rule there is if it's a situation where one swing of the bat can really change the game, you green the guy up. So you're down 5-2. You have two guys on, two outs, and you have a 3-0 count. Green him up. If it's a guy that can hit the ball out of the ballpark, you green him up. Now a home run ties the game. The game's totally different. If it's a one-run game and it's close, but you get the idea. If one swing of the bat can really change the direction of the game, you green them up. Now, that in and of itself, that's a gray area. Well, what define change the game? Two-run lead? Are you down 5 and you can hit a 2-run homer to make it 3? I don't know. I mean, I would argue no on that one, but a 3-run homer, maybe.
If these babies just want a mercy rule, then put in a mercy rule. If that's the way they want it. Like, this is what it sounds like they're bitching about.
But I would tell you this. If baseball wants interest and baseball wants viewers, here's what I would say. Let Fernando Tatis Jr. hit anytime he wants to hit.
Right.
Let him swing the bat anytime he wants to swing the bat. I implore you, if you are a baseball fan and you like to see good talent, watch the highlight of this kid's home run in the 7th inning last night. Watch it. It's one thing to watch Giancarlo Stanton hit one 480 feet. Okay. High, majestic, you know, just endless home run. Parabolic. It's another to see one go off a guy's bat and go, whoa, how did that get out? Like that home run that, what's his name, hit earlier in the year, the Mets. Alonso, that absolute bullet. Okay, Alonso's a moose. He's a big dude. And that ball was up in the air. That ball would have gone out of any ballpark. Go find the home run by Tatis in the 7th inning last night. Off the bat, I thought, well, that's a double in the gap. And then I start go over the wall and I went, what? Holy crap. And I got to worry that the Texas Rangers' feelings are going to get hurt and that kid can't swing the bat. Go to hell. I said this before. Your sport sucks right now. The product blows. A kid like Tatis makes it more sellable. And I have to worry about hurting the Texas Rangers' feelings? F off. Seriously. Keep swinging, kid. Swing the bat.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's #1 sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.